Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Lady Carolyn.
And I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
Welcome to our show. Tonight the topic is our testimony of learning to operate in love. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Spirit of the true and living God, we give you all honor, praise, and glory right now, dear Heavenly Father. As we give our testimony, Father God, your word declares that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father God. We thank you for deliverance, and we thank you for being set free, Father God. And we just ask now, Father God, that you move through us and in us now, Father God, as we make ourselves available to Heavenly Father to be used in your service. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for the sake we pray.
Amen. Thank you. And again, our topic is our testimony of learning to operate in love. And we will be giving our testimony of being restored by God and learning the importance of learning how to operate in love. We are not doing ministry because it was our idea. We are called into this ministry to testify to others the glory of God and his sufficient grace and mercy on our lives to restore his divine precept that my husband and I honor our covenant with him. Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated is a ministry of love, hope, deliverance, healing, and restoration. God has ordained us to be transparent, to tell the truth of the issues we face, the principalities against us, and the rebellious, vile, evil spirits that lurked within us, sent by the enemy himself to destroy what God has joined together. But God said that what he has joined together, let no man put asunder, and it is so in our lives. Our purpose is to love and serve God, love one another as he has loved us, and to keep his commandments. Our ministry is to help others to come to believe in the one true living God and tells us to seek his kingdom first and all else will be added. It was only when we surrendered to God that our marriage saw the light of God's presence in it. And our hope is to share with others what we went through to get where we are today, in hopes that someone will come to believe that if God did it for us, he will surely do it for them. Amen.
Amen.
And we are coming out of the book of Revelation 12:11, King James Version. And as my husband said in his prayer, and we prayed again, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen. Amen. You want to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. Okay. Our testimony of learning to operate in love. My testimony is when I met my husband, I was not saved. I knew that there was a God. I had been introduced to a God. I knew that I wasn't him, but I never had a relationship with God. And what really impressed me with you was the fact that the night that we spent together, you showed me that you were a man of God, revealed that to me. And it actually somewhat scared me, too, because like I shared before, you know, we met in a karaoke bar, and you were drinking. I'm in recovery, and, you know, I really didn't like you anymore because you didn't buy me a soda that night. But it was something that was said. And I know I had stopped listening to you, and you was kind of sitting behind me at the table, and I had my back turned to you, and something was saying, and then I asked you, were you lonely? And you said, yes. and your honesty made me turn around and take another look at you. And I looked at you, and you had on a do-rag and some sunshades. And you remember I asked you, did you have any hair up under that do-rag? And when you took the do-rag off and your hair looked nice, I was like, wow, what your eyes look like? And you took the shades off, and you're a rather cute guy. And we ended up dancing all night and actually ended up going to your apartment. And, you know, we fell madly in bed and got married a year later and then tried to get to know each other. And, you know, through not dealing with a lot of issues that I have personally, I think that the first thing that really riled me up was the fact that when I was coming by to pick you up, to take you to work, and you were still talking to your ex, that was the female that you had told me that you had asked to marry you. And that right there was really what kind of sent me on another page with you, because I felt like I couldn't trust you. And when that seed was planted in me, I think that a lot of my behaviors and actions towards you, because I had been married before, and my first husband was a cheater, big cheater. And so, you know, I flipped back to that scenario. And anyway, I could remember starting to question you, you know, about who you was talking to, you know, and, you know, what was going on, and not believing any answers that you gave me, you know, and just watching you. And I remember it ended up being a big deal because you was telling me that this was your friend and you didn't see why you had to stop talking to her. And that made me feel like you put somebody before me. So I didn't like you anymore, really. But, you know, I married you anyway, and I wanted this marriage to work, but I didn't know how to make it work. And I didn't want to be a fool in the marriage. And I think that a lot of the things that I did, you know, trying to control what was going on in the surroundings and everything, you know, I remember, you know, I didn't know how to talk to you, you know. When I met you, you was quiet, man. You was a good guy. And you wasn't a person that argued, you know. And I was a fighter, you know. I was a hell raiser, really. And eventually, you know, I went right back into that mode, you know, and I started cursing you out, and I can remember you asking me why would I talk to you that way, and, you know, and that only made me feel like I needed to do it some more, and I was trying to exert some imaginary control that I didn't have, and I ended up changing you, you know. And I remember, I think we had been married for about 2 weeks, and you called me the B word, and I really, really, really wanted to fight you then, and I really lost a whole lot of before you, even though I had been cutting up and acting the fool, you know. For some reason, I really never thought that you would, you know, say that to me or call me that, and, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there, and I really, you know, became a person that allowed the enemy to use me daily. You know, I can remember going to your cell phone, you know, trying to monitor what you were doing, you know, trying to come. I think I came to your job one day, and you was sitting up in there talking to one of your coworkers, you know, and I was so jealous and insecure at that time that even any time I saw you around a female, you know, I doubted, you know, what was what what our marriage was. I doubted it, you know. And I walked around with a lot of insecurity and a lot of jealousy and a lot of just meanness. You know, I was just angry. I was just angry all the time, every day. And I think that when I tried to approach you to try to get you to understand what I needed, I didn't know how to say it. And I didn't know the words to use. So instead of me saying, honey, you know, hug me more, compliment me more, talk to me more, I was like, oh, I don't need you. I don't care, you know, get away, you know. I don't care, you know. And I would say things, but it was never what was in my heart. And I think that, you know, by the time we got to the physical part of it, it was just it was inevitable because that was what was in me. And it was just a hard, long road, you know, and I could just, you know, I was praying and meditating about this today, and I was thinking about how, you know, not in telling my testimony, if I just look at me and just, you know, not looking at, back then I was looking at these are the reasons why, you know, but when I just look at me and I know why, you know, because I'm looking at the issues and my behavior and what it really was, you know. I was just an angry person, you know. I had some things, some issues that went on with me that was never healed, never dealt with. You know, I had a marriage that was a marriage in name only before, so I didn't know what a husband and wife looked like. I'd never seen that role model before me, so I went into something blind, crippled, and crazy. Amen.
Well, for me, it was, I was in search of, during the time that you met me, I don't know exactly what it was about you. You had a spirit about you that was kind of like, you were open with your feelings, and there was an attraction that, you know, I couldn't put my finger on, but I was honest when I told you at that time that I was lonely, you know. And through that loneliness and that time that we spent together, though, I felt like you were somebody that I could be with. So I thought about it and thought about it, and I said to myself, well, you know, got a job. She got a car. She got a son. But, you know, I think that, you know, there's some possibilities here, you know. And even though I was saved, I had backslid. I was still drinking. I was still smoking weed. You know, I was still trying to pursue, you know, I was really trying to find a wife, you know. Because I was tired of that scene, you know what I'm saying? I wanted something that was secure. I had a pastor I used to preach in Lumpkin, Georgia, when I was, after I got ordained, and it was one of our sister churches, and I used to go there and preach, me and another minister. And we had a guest minister one day. And after he preached, he asked me, he said, was I married? And I told him, no. And he said, well, you need to get married. And for some reason, that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing, you know, the lifestyle that I was living at the time, you know, and you can't serve two God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really at a crossroads in my life of just trying to settle down and get my spiritual life together. But in the process, once we did get together, you know, there were some people in my life. And I was the type of person that just because I was in a relationship and we broke up, we wasn't mad at each other. So I figured if we still remained friends, that was cool. You know, we had an understanding. We know we weren't involved with each other like that anymore. And I didn't see anything wrong with it, but you did, apparently, because I didn't see things. And we had this conversation, too. So I tried to take a stand, but it didn't work. So it kind of fed into your anger and your mistrust of me, and it really kind of got volatile as the relationship went on. But I really wanted to try to get my life to a point where it has some stability, but I couldn't because I was still drinking and smoking, you know. So my thinking wasn't sober at all times. And a lot of times I think, like you said, the appearance of evil is still evil, you know. So I allow myself to get into situations that, you know, when you saw it or you came across me and see me, you know, it made you wonder if I was for real, you know, about what we had or what we were trying to do together. So as time went on, you know, things just kind of got to a point, to a boiling point, you know. And my thing was I wanted a relationship, but I never had a woman that got so angry, you know. When I try to explain things to you, you know, and then I had my flaws too. I was still selfish. I was still self-centered in a lot of ways. I was stubborn, you know. So I know I had some issues too that I needed to work with. And I had female friends that I never told you about, you know, and you thought that I was hiding things from you. So that just added to the problem. And, you know, as time went on, certain situations where, you know, you would get angry at me. I feel that some marks on me to this day where you really express how you felt about certain situations at times and stuff. But I was determined in my heart that I was going to stick and stay. You know, I was going to try to see this thing through until it got better, that there was some hope. But it was so hard to try to navigate through it because when you get mad, when you say you're a fighter, you a fighter. you wouldn't back down, you know, from anything. So it got to the point where I said, well, shoot, if I can't beat them, I got to join them. And that's when I just kind of went all in, you know, because I did have a quiet spirit. And I was, you know, God was doing some things in my life, you know, but I got to the point where I had started cursing too. And even though I never really fought back, I did, you know, try to stand my ground because I didn't want to let you think that, you know, you were no bigger and better than I was. You know what I'm saying? And that's when the enemy just kind of, oof, it just came on me, you know. So that was a rough time in my life because I wanted to love you and treat you with respect, but at the same time, I felt that I wasn't being respected. So I figured, hey, if I can't get no respect, I can't get none. So I was kind of retaliating from what I was getting, you know. And that really put us in a real volatile state in our lives. So I believe that was a really dark place for us back then in our marriage. A lot of years. Our old house looked like Beirut. Slamming doors and throwing things and packing up and threatening to leave and making up, and a little while later we back at it again, you know. And it wasn't good for us, and it wasn't good for William. And, you know, calling the police and all of those things that had occurred. it was just really hard to deal with, you know. But the miracle was that I was determined, because I already had one failed marriage, and I didn't want another. And somewhere deep down inside, I just felt like, you know, I don't know how, I don't know when, but, you know, I got to make it through this, you know. I can't have another failed marriage. I don't want another failed marriage, you know. And through the grace of God, here we go.
Amen. Because, you know, I don't know, as a woman, I didn't think about having another failed marriage. I thought about how was I going to put my life back together. Because when you walked out,
yeah,
and when you did leave, you know, that was the, I guess, the turning point to make me believe that, okay, this is over. I need to do something else with myself. You know, I need to pick myself up, because at the time I didn't have a job, and I did have a son, you know, here with at the house with me. So I was thinking, how was I going to pick myself up? And it was a few, I don't know, how long were you gone? Almost a month or a month?
About a month.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I started doing a lot of praying during that time, you know, because I had already been incarcerated on that domestic abuse charge. And God had started speaking to me, and I was thinking before you left that we was getting better. And when I came home one day, you was packing up, leaving. So that kind of just shook me, you know, when I was thinking that we were going to be working on, and then you walked out. And, you know, coming back from all of that, just thinking about how, because there was nothing that I could have done, nothing that you could have done, because I remember the day that you did, well, it was at night when you came by the house, and because I changed the locks and everything and, you know, contended to just get on with my life, you know, try to find me a job and keep it moving, because I had that baby, you know. And that night that you came home, because I told God, I said, God, you know, he can't come back up in here without a note from you. I can't do it. And that night that you came to the house, you came with a testimony, you know, some things that God had been dealing with you, and you said you wanted to come home. And it was like at that moment, it was like a whole different two people to me. You know, I didn't feel like me, and I didn't feel like you was you. You know, it was like two different people. And I knew that if my husband wanted to come home, then that was where he was supposed to be. I didn't know what was going to happen from that moment on, but I just felt in my heart that this was the way it was supposed to be. You know, and things didn't change right away. I think that we both walked around on eggshells after that, trying to figure things out, you know, and trying not to get to a volatile point ever again, you know, being careful what we said to each other and trying to be mindful, you know, of how we acted around each other. And I really think that the fact that you kept going to church and I kept going to church, you know, even though, you know, there were still days that we couldn't go together, but we, you know, God made me come behind you and sit beside you. And that was painful, you know, and but I knew I had to be obedient. I think my fear of God, because when God told me that being in jail could have been my permanent address, I was done. I never, ever wanted to put my hand on anybody again. I didn't ever want to be the type of person that God showed me that I was, you know. And I remember when you called me bitter, and I kept thinking I never wanted to be a bitter person. And I, you know, and that was my biggest prayer. God changed me, God knew. And I just started, you know, just fervently praying that prayer. Just God changed me, help me not to be like I was. Don't ever let me be there. I don't want to live in jail, you know, and I don't want to go to hell, you know. So, you know, that was, it was some big changes that was made in our home between the two of us, you know. Then we had to go to date night, you know, and it was some dragging.
There was some other things that took place too, you know. There was some counseling, you know. There was some intervention, you know, in that regard. But my thing was, you know, that, you know, I just wanted to stay, you know, in church. I wanted to make some changes because I had become somebody that I wasn't in the beginning, you know, with what we had been through. You know, I had people tell me that you had put roots on me, you know, because of the abuse that I was taking at the time. But I just felt that stubbornness to not give up, you know, and let go regardless, what kept me coming back, you know, because I wanted my marriage. I really did it, but I really didn't know how to do it, you know. So that desire for me to stay in church, and just hear God speak to my heart, you know, I think that was the thing that kept me, you know, kept me grounded and not let me stay gone when I left, and that brought me back. And I'm thankful that I didn't listen to those voices, you know, because if I had, I probably wouldn't have came back.
And I understand, because if I would have been listening to some of the crazy people I was talking to, I wouldn't have probably even been there for you to come back to, or wouldn't have been able to let you in. You know, we do have to be real careful that, you know, we don't allow other people to dictate, you know, what it is for us.
Yeah, because, you know. But despite all of that, you know, a lot of times you don't know how. You don't know when. Like you said, a miracle is going to happen. But I think it's when, you know, you started this love walk. It's really what turned things around, you know. And then by me being in the men's ministry, I was getting some good counsel, you know, and some good word, trying to apply it to my life, you know, to the best of my ability. But once they came together, I believe that's when the change, for me anyway, started to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad that it did, you know, because I have never been so happy in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, it was pain.
It's kind of painful talking about it right now.
It really is. When you bring up, those times, you can kind of see it in your mind's eye how it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a real sad, pitiful state in our life, you know.
But God. Mm-hmm. And he did give us this ministry, you know. God gave me this ministry in jail. He told me that I need to learn how to operate in love. And that was my biggest problem, that I did not know how to operate in love.
And neither did I.
And that is so much. Because the lessons that I've learned, you know, it's not just the stuff that I teach, but it's the stuff that I'm learning myself that has helped me so much just to understand what love is and what love is not.
We thank God.
Thank you so much. And I know that if we can overcome all the stuff that we've been through, anybody can.
Amen.
Anybody can.
Amen.
Hold on, have hope, and let God do it.
And trust God.
Trust him, because he will. He
Amen.
Will do it. And I just want to thank you again for being
here. Thank you.
Oh, man, God.
Lord.
Your prayers out.
Oh, Father God, we thank you so much, Father God, that you are the synergy, Father God, of love, the Heavenly Father. You are love. And we thank you, Father, that love so freely, Father God. And we just ask that as we continue to walk in love, that we receive your love even more. And we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. Just remember that no matter what the situation is, the circumstance or the problem,
the lesson is always love.
Amen. Amen.